Hey everyone, this is Sasha.
And Claire.
And this is
Dare to Rise.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dare to Rise with your hosts, Claire and Sasha.
Hey.
Today's episode is about slipping back into negative thinking and how to get off that negativity train.
So I'll have to admit that this is very difficult for me to admit out loud to everybody, but going through a pretty difficult time now in my personal life. It's very difficult, stressful, and a confusing time for me right now without really going into the details of why and how and what's going on exactly, but we'll take the lessons that we are currently learning from this situation.
Claire actually texted me really, really upset. And I was actually quite surprised by some of the texts that she was sending. She clearly was on a very negative track of mind. Yeah. And one of the texts I picked out specifically to share with permission from Claire.
Yes.
Is something that I think is really important because I think that no matter what is happening in our lives and what we're doing and even what we're trying to accomplish, doesn't necessarily mean that you're doing something wrong. Your feelings are valid and these things happen, and it's just about you just be kind to yourself and give yourself a break. So the text that I received was, "I'm such a hypocrite. I'm doing a podcast with you and telling people to face their fears and rise up, and I can't even face mine. I really, really, really hate myself right now." And that's hard to hear as a friend, that your friend is suffering and going through that time, but
it's hard to hear myself now saying that, and I can't believe that I was so far down and so deep into my negative thinking that I actually said that.
But I think the good thing is that you actually felt comfortable enough to say that to me and share that. Yeah. That's how you were feeling.
Yeah.
And that's when I was able to step in and be that positivity in your life and shower you with praise and telling you to be kind to yourself and giving you everything that you needed, I think, at that time.
Yes, it was so helpful. I'm so lucky that I do have you and a support system in my life that can kind of help me away from that dark place, that dark night of my soul. I like to dig deeper into my emotions and why I'm feeling the way that I'm feeling and saying and doing. I like to kind of get into it. I want to understand it. One of the teachers that I absolutely look up to is Tony Robbins. And he talks about how people have a need for certainty. They are comfortable in their own discomfort. So we're going to link this article. It's very in-depth and it's very helpful in my opinion. So essentially in a nutshell, there are seven fundamental basic human needs. And one of them is the need for certainty and the need for the known. So in this case, I was very comfortable and I knew very well how to beat myself up. That's like when I'm going through a stressful time, that's my default. I default to blaming myself and hating myself. That blame and the self-hatred and the negativity, I know how to do that well and I'm comfortable in that thinking pattern.
So when you were feeling down, you kind of just reverted back to what you know, because you,
Yes.
in the situation at hand, you were stressed out and you needed to go back to something that you were comfortable with. And that thing you were comfortable with was the negative thinking and
And the
the blame.
blaming and the hatred and everything that comes along with that. And then it just spirals out of control from, you know, once I got to the root cause of, okay, so I had to do some soul searching and I wanted to know why do I do this to myself? And found out that it was, you know, due to my childhood old conditionings, and I'm addicted to that feeling of really feeling bad about myself.
And I think it's really easy to go back into that because it's just, it's what you know. You don't know how to necessarily think positively. I mean, you know how to, but like in that moment, your emotions take over. And
yes.
Because you're having a rough day or you're going through a particular situation, even questioning yourself, that leads down to that negativity path. And before you know it, you're deep in it. And it's really hard to get back up. So in your situation, you did a really good thing and you voiced it to me so that I would know that you were going through that. And I think a lot of people don't do that. A lot of times people are feeling that way and they feel like they can't share it with other people.
They feel isolated and alone and separate. And that is funny because it's not real. It's not true. It's something that you create in your mind. You think you're alone. You think you have nobody and you have no friends and nobody cares about you. That's just something that you're telling yourself in that moment, in that feeling. You're separate and you have no friends and you're isolated.
Yeah, and it's really hard to get out of that. When you're in it, when you're feeling those emotions, it's extremely challenging. And
yes.
If you listen to our previous episode, we did talk about cognitive distortions and feeling those or having those negative thoughts and ways that you can try to combat them through analyzing your thoughts and your thought patterns. But in this instance, sometimes you just can't do that. You're so in the emotion that sitting down, taking time to write it is too hard. You're not even thinking about that. You're like, I'm just feeling this and I am just beating myself up and this is all that's going on. And so in those cases where you can't even take a step back to write your thoughts down, reaching out to somebody is a really good way to do this, whether it's your spouse or a family member or a friend or even a therapist. Like anything you can do to reach out when you are feeling like that, that is going to make an impact. Because I think that with our conversation, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't want to boast my or toot my own horn, but I think that because you told me that, I was able to get you to a better place. It might not have been like 100% your perfectly fine, but I got you back to a place where I think you were able to then analyze what was going on.
Oh, definitely. Just being reminded that I just, first of all, just the thought that I had someone that I could reach out to was huge for me. Like I said, I did say that creating separation and walls around people is an illusion. Just to know that I had someone that I could talk to was huge. That right there already took me 3 steps forward. Just hearing back from you right away and you reminding me of my affirmations and reminding me of how much I do matter and that I am important, it just kind of helped me push me even further. And then that kind of put me back on my self-care routines, my I am statements, affirmations, meditations, etc. Everything that I do to combat all of the internal demons in my soul right now. So.
Yeah, and I think for me, it also brings me comfort to know that there's somebody else that's going through this battle too. It's not just when I'm feeling like I'm struggling, I can lean on you. And when you're struggling, you can lean on me. And I think having a support system like that is really, really important. It's like my wife, she doesn't really have negative thinking. She's pretty solid and good. So it's like trying to explain to her what's going on in my head, she just doesn't really quite
doesn't
get
understand.
It. So I think the key is to have somebody who understands what you're going through. And even if they don't understand, if you are just so down, just talk to anybody. Just don't do this alone.
You know, look, the thing is, I actually wanted to add, you said, oh, reach out to someone, friend, family, therapist. Another thing you could do is there are so many support groups out there that are specific to your need, whether it's fighting an alcohol addiction or narcotics, or there are even...
There's even group therapy for people suffering from depression or any other type of mental illness. They're out there. You just need to look for them.
Yes. And start making connections. And the act of connecting with other people that's going through the same things, it is very refreshing to have that.
Yeah. And I think one thing that's important to remember is that even the most positive, happy-go-lucky person is going to have negative thoughts.
Jeez.
Like, negativity bias is a thing, and it's something that exists in everybody. In Gretchen Rubin's book, The Happiness Project, she touches upon it a little bit, where she talks about that one fact of human nature is that people have a negativity bias. We react to the bad more strongly and persistently than to the comparable good. For example, someone at work slights me in a group email chain. It upset me. The same person then later thanks me in person, tells me I did a good job. I feel anger towards that one slight more than I feel happy about the thankfulness and gratitude for a job well done. And that's perfectly normal. Going further into that, there was a study done by John Cacioppo, a PhD at Ohio State University. And I'm going to link an article down below about this. And the article was written by Hera Estroff Morano on Psychology Today. And in the article, she says that John Cacioppo showed people pictures known to arouse positive feelings, say like a Ferrari or a pizza.
Pizza.
Those certain to stir up negative feelings, a mutilated face or a dead cat.
Oh. What?
And those known to produce neutral feelings, a plate or a hairdryer. And while he was showing these images to the people, he was recording their electrical activity in the brain's cerebral cortex that reflects the magnitude of the information processing taking place. And he demonstrated that the brain reacts more strongly to stimuli it deems negative. There is a greater surge of electrical activity. Thus, our attitudes are more heavily influenced by downbeat news than good news.
Well, that explains 90% of the news that we watch on TV. And it's funny because people complain about how awful the news is, and then what are they doing? They come home and they put on the news.
Yep. I actually don't even watch the news because it's too upsetting to me.
Yeah, I just can't.
Yeah.
It's just, it gets me down this negative train.
The only thing I can really watch is the weather.
Yeah.
And even then sometimes.
Yeah, we have apps on our phones now. Yeah. If I need to know the weather, I'll just look at my app on the phone. I stay away from the news as much as possible.
Yeah, it's really something. Just because we have this negativity bias doesn't mean that's not there for a reason. You know, through evolution, like back in the day, you know, cavemen, they needed to remember the bad things that happened so that they wouldn't do them again and survive.
Yeah.
So it goes back, way back into our history, and that's why it's ingrained into our brains that we tend to think more negatively.
Yeah, it's a survival mechanism. We needed it to survive, literally.
Also, going back to Gretchen Rubin's The Happiness Project book, she continued to say that one consequence of negativity bias is that when people's minds are unoccupied, they tend to drift to anxious or angry thoughts. And rumination, which is dwelling on slights, unpleasant encounters, and sad events, leads to bad feelings. In fact, one reason that women are more susceptible to depression than men may be their greater tendency to ruminate. Men are more likely to distract themselves with an activity. And so I think that's really interesting, because if you are more likely to think negatively and you're thinking negatively already and you are feeling like that, it's even harder for you to get out of it because you are thinking about that. And once you get going, it's going, going, gone.
There's no coming back unless you have, well,
unless you do something.
Awareness.
Yeah.
Yes. I think that a big part of learning to control your thoughts and your feelings and emotions, a huge part of that is awareness. So once you're aware of it, you can look for red flags and indicators, and then from there you can stop and slow it down. I mean, you know, you and I have done a lot of like personal development work and therapy too, which has helped drastically, kind of slowing down our thinking and recognizing when we're getting into a pattern. And it's funny that you say like all of these studies and the Happiness Project, it all ties together. Then Tony Robbins, they're all saying the same thing. It's like to the core of it, it's like that's what we know. And that's what we default to.
Yep.
What I mean, if we have learned to be like this, then certainly we can unlearn it.
Yeah.
Right? Through awareness and then changing. And that's essentially what we do every time we are aware of a pattern, and then we stop it and then we combat it. So.
And I know for me, like in the past when I have gone down that negative path, when I think back to before I had therapy and before I even realized what was happening, I would just continue down that path, continue down until it got to the point where I was like, why am I even alive? Why is this happening? Like, and that's when the suicidal thoughts would come in. So after therapy, just as I start going down that path, I'm already starting to recognize that I'm going down that negativity bias track. And I'm actually like, so I'll start thinking, oh my God, I suck. This, like, what am I doing? This is horrible. I'm a horrible person. And then that's a point I'm like, wait a minute, stop. I'm starting to go down that path again. I need to change my thought pattern. And I either try to think about something else. And if I see that myself is still continue to get back, that's when I will try to do something that occupies my mind, like watch a show, read a book, something that really makes me focus
like
on that
changes,
other thing.
Like, it's kind of like essentially you're like changing your direction,
yes.
Like redirecting your attention. I would add to that, at that point, you could also then reach out to a friend or reach out to your support group or your sponsor or anything along those lines, anything that just takes that attention and that focus away from that and into something good.
And in your case, in this particular incident, you reached out to me so that we were able to work with each other to get you back to a better path. And I think that is so important, to have people in your life that you can rely on and that you can work with to get yourself out of those negative thinking patterns. I think it's sometimes hard when you're in therapy because you see your therapist maybe once a week, once or twice a week, depending on how much you need it. At nighttime, when you're home, who do you talk to?
At nighttime, when you're laying in bed and all the negative thoughts come up because you can't sleep, oh boy, that's a slippery slope.
it's not like you can call up your therapist at that point and say, hey, help me. I mean, maybe some therapists do, but I don't think I would ever do that to my therapist. No. Just that's my personal own thing. But there are other things out there. Like if you don't think that you can talk, like if you don't want to wake up a friend or your spouse, and you, but you do need to talk to somebody, there are plenty of sources out there. In each of our descriptions of our podcast, we have a suicide hotline number. You can always call that. There are apps.
They're 24 hours.
They're 24 hour service. There are apps out there, for example, BetterHelp, where they will put you in touch with a therapist right away. So there are ways that you can communicate with people, get somebody to understand how you're feeling and talk through it so that you can feel better and start working on getting to a better place.
And I'll second that too. Yes, super important. And there are resources out there. I know for me, the worst time for me was at night when I can't sleep and my mind, and I'm trying to sleep, and then you know, your brain just goes there. That's when I started looking up audio recordings on YouTube of positive self-affirmations. And that's when I started listening to those instead of feeding this negative thinking looping pattern in my head. I stopped and then I put something else on repeat, on loop, on just autoplay. It's like I know the times that I start slipping down that slope and then I'll play it. That's something that that has helped me during those dark moments and times when I couldn't or didn't have anybody. And it's funny because I look back now and it was just a perception.
Yeah.
Like it was, I thought I didn't have anybody. Like I recently opened up to you about a very difficult situation that happened to me when I was 19. And that was around the time that we fell apart. And I didn't think I could reach out to you, but now that I've told you what happened.
I think there's so many things that go into a relationship, whether it's romantic or friendship. And there's so many different factors, and you have situations where you grow apart, you grow together. And I know, like in our particular situation, I felt like I wasn't getting what I needed, and therefore I pulled away. And that's not anything against you. It's just as I'm reading other things and learning more about myself, it's more of an internal thing where it's I care about people and I put myself out there, but then I also expect the same in return. And because of that, when I don't get what I feel like I should be getting in return, that's when I get upset with myself and I pull back. And so that's what happened in that situation. And I think that made it really hard for both of us to feel like we could talk to each other. And like, I don't know if I would have been in the same situation, if I would have been able to reach out to you, I probably would have felt the same as you and been like, no, I can't. But I think that now you and I are at a place where we can actually feel comfortable enough with each other to communicate those. I think we've grown and we've changed so much and evolved so that now we can have a really good relationship where we can talk about those things and be there for each other and be each other's support system.
Yeah, I mean, I had a lot of growing up to do, and I was, you know, I was going through my own things at that time, and it's funny because we weren't talking about these things. Even though I was going through things and I knew that, I didn't say anything to anybody and I was going through it alone. This is all, we already got into this in the past, but that's like the main reason of this podcast is to, but anyway.
And can we just take a moment that when you were telling this to me, I was eating a sandwich and I didn't know if I should stop eating the sandwich. So I just kept on eating the sandwich. Because I was like, am I supposed to stop eating
sandwich?
This sandwich and listen? I don't know what to do right now.
Oh, when I told you about the situation, I don't know why it just came out.
I mean, it was fine. It was fine that it came out, but I am what you call awkward anyway. That I
Same. That's why
So
we
that
get
when you were
along.
talking to me about this really challenging thing, I just did not. And we were also in a public place, so I also did not want to draw
Sandwich,
attention
sandwich.
to what was happening, even though nobody could hear us. But I didn't want to be like, "Oh my God," and like fawn over you, but also give you this, but
I
also
would have
give you the
started
space to
crying.
like share. So I'm like, I'm just gonna continue eating. Hopefully, this is
Eat my
okay.
sandwich.
So the thing is that you
You know,
probably didn't even notice.
I didn't. And that's just it. It's like when you share with someone a story or a difficult time, the one thing I know, and I don't want to speak in generalities, definitely this is a me thing. Like if I just need someone to listen to me, that I mean, or if I'm sharing a difficult time or I'm going through a difficult situation, what I'm looking for is just to have someone there to listen. Not necessarily to like say the right thing or try to fix
Stop
it
eating.
or any of that. Stop or like eat a sandwich. So it's just like your very presence of being there and just somebody else to share my, I
And I think
guess,
what I was trying to
burden.
bring up is that there is no right way to be there for somebody. If somebody decides to share their emotional issues with you or things that have happened to them, anything, just listen. That's all you really need to do. You don't need to give advice all the time. You don't need to be
No.
there to be their hero and rescue them. Sometimes all you need to do is just listen, even if you are awkwardly eating a sandwich
Eating a sandwich by the
and don't know what to do. Sometimes all you need to do is listen. And so not only should you be reaching out for a support system, but you should also be open and willing to be someone else's support system.
That brings us to our next dare. So going through this this difficult, stressful, and confusing time in my life right now made me realize the importance of having a support system.
So what we would like to propose for the dare is we dare you guys to start building a support system. And that support system is going to look different for everybody. It could be somebody that you're close with, a close friend, it could be a spouse, or maybe it's even externally finding a group or finding an app that will let you get in touch with somebody when there's a situation, when your negative thinking gets out of hand.
That's just it. You know, really, please, please, please get help. Surround yourself with people that are going to be, that will be good for you. You cannot go through this alone. And depending on where you are, people are at different points in their life with their relationships. For example, maybe you have a falling out with a friend and you want to mend that relationship again. Maybe you can start there and maybe build that bridge and start having a conversation and mend those relationships. Maybe you have a group of friends that are awesome and they're there for you. How can you nurture that relationship more?
And after you have your support system, come up with a plan of action for when you are going down into that negative spiral. Who are you going to reach out to, and how are you going to reach out to them?
And will this person
Yes.
be receptive? Like, can they handle, like,
Somebody. If you're comfortable enough with somebody where you're already telling them how you feel, you can say to them, "I really want to get out of this negative thinking pattern. Is it okay if I reach out to you when I am struggling with this? And do you feel comfortable with trying to bring me back up?"
Yeah, don't just like vomit your like entire problems to a person who like, whoa, it like they can't even handle it. They don't even know what to do. Like they don't even know how to support you. So, yeah, definitely it's important to kind of gauge where everybody is and their
Yeah.
comfort level and how
And
they can
again,
support you.
if you're not comfortable reaching out to a specific person in your life, there's other resources out there for you. You can get a support system, not necessarily by the people that you see every day, but you can go to a group or use an app like BetterHelp or anything else. There's lots of resources out there. Even finding a phone number you can call, such as the suicide hotline, in our description below.
Okay.
So our next episode, we'll be getting into some deeper stuff, but
I'm gonna try not to cry.
No promises. But we really hope you enjoyed the episode, and we'll see you in the next one.
Just remember, fear is a four-letter word that can stand for
forget everything and run, or face everything and rise.
We dare you to rise.